Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
What a, like, beginning to this record today.
Really intense, actually. Amazing kind of initial eye contact that you made with me out the front of your building.
Okay, so context. I'm busy typing away my... in my lounge, working. I know I've got a podcast going, and then I get a text from Michael, our Akosa mattress is arriving. And I just shut down immediately. I was like, I'm not ready for something of this scale to be delivered to the front door.
Yeah.
I think anything, any kind of furniture item arriving in your house, you want the day. Like, in my childhood, if mum was like, we're buying a bed, the whole day would be set aside for
that's
the bed to arrive.
That's a full weekend. I'm already, because so the mattress is in a box about a meter away from us, and I am like, it's making me feel uneasy that you haven't unpacked it yet.
Because you're like, it's in there, let it go. But it's like, it's probably been shipped from, well, China, as it says on the packet.
Oh, wow. But what, it just has that
so
aura.
So it's been
of like,
there for ages.
Yeah, but it could, now it feels like it could be here. Like, I'm imagining a world where a week from today, that is still there in that position. you're putting your keys on top of it.
I think you're peeking a little bit.
Okay. So now I'm holding my mic so close because actually, for the first time, listened to one of our recent episodes.
You're so quiet, and I was going to bring it up. I was going to be like, hey, maybe you should like hold the mic closer to your mouth because you sort of hold it like a cigarette. Like,
yeah.
It's sort of like, it's like it's this. Out. It's out it's, here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And has we're that been going on this entire time that we've been back?
A little bit.
Wow.
We're improving. Every day.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for 5 years and there's still places to improve.
But you know, when you get off the horse, sometimes it takes a while to get back on the horse. Yeah, and we are back on the horse.
So, yeah, anyway, Eli arrived at the very second, the Akosa mattress in its box arrived. And they've been clever. Like, it's been designed in Melbourne, of course. Like, the box has got fucking wheels in it. That, so you can wheel the box into your... No way. Those wheels are not taking the weight of this, like...
Massive.
Huge box of latex.
I reckon you brought up how heavy it was about 5 times in the in the lift ride up. Yeah,
it was so heavy. Yeah. It was so heavy. But I was dealing with... Were you expecting small talk? I had a whole king bed in my hands.
Yeah. I know.
But this is on the casualness of like e-commerce beds. Like buying a bed. It's like...
They drop them off and then they're like, that's yours now.
They're treating
Work
them,
it out.
They're treating it like a bag of fucking coffee. Oh, you've got a little parcel downstairs waiting for you. What is it? It's a king size bed.
Do you know what is, and I'm already dreading this for you, getting rid of that cardboard box.
Nah, it's
is
heaven.
A nightmare.
It's
what?
Heaven.
What do you mean it's heaven?
Because I am in an apartment block with industrial recycling.
Oh, do you just pop it through a slot?
Well, no, I have to take the box downstairs, but there's huge bins down there.
Oh, cool.
Cue theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Welcome along to this week's episode of The Male Gaze. When I was walking up, I was already thinking of the first thing that I was going to talk about on the pod.
Oh, yeah.
And then, obviously, the mattress thing happened.
The mattress.
That completely left my mind. But what I need you to know is every single time when I've left this podcast recording recently, because there's a bit of a construction happening outside your house, I have, every time that I've left, been on my phone and just walked straight into probably the most dangerous bit.
Oh my God.
And then sort of looked up and be like, oh, that's
nothing
right.
Nothing drives me crazier than people walking around looking into their phones. Like, it makes me irate.
Don't you do that, though?
I try not to. Mm. Like, but I will check a little bit. when I'm walking or if I'm stuck at traffic. I'm trying to do it less because it's like when you're walking around town and someone's like, they're walking like a cycle lane or whatever, and
yes,
you're on a lime, and you're like, I shouldn't really be in here either, but get out of the way.
People walking on the cycle lane, God, some days I just want to be like, this isn't for you, from my bike. It's so annoying.
Do you get those videos of like really aggressive cyclists on your algorithm?
No, I don't.
They're
actually
kind of like, they're sort of cycle activists.
I really want to work out how to get the good stuff from my algorithm because I get...
You got to train that, eh?
Yeah, I just haven't put in the time.
Are you on... you're on TikTok?
But barely.
Oh, just stay, for some reason, that way.
It doesn't work on my brain like it does most people. I never feel like...
Okay, you're a savant?
No, but I will drain so long on Instagram.
Right.
And like watching stories on silent.
Do you know what's been buzzing me out? Like, because obviously social media is a really like...
Heavy as hell
place. And like, it needs to be. Like, it's really serving its
purpose.
We should
all feel heavy as hell at the moment.
But Facebook... It's like, it's still like 2019 there or something. Yeah. Like, it's just unbelievable. Like, it's like an alternate universe.
I'm addicted to people who post kind of just Facebook statuses of just what they're up to. So but a few of them popped up this morning and I was like,
I wonder if, because there's very little like sponsored content on Facebook as well. Like, because Instagram is... You know, like genocide updates and then like advertising for like
McDonald's.
Yeah. Like your products.
Yeah.
This is Facebook is like, it's like back to like personal updates and stuff. Like you don't get any of the sponsored content on Facebook.
I get weird stuff on, and I don't think it's paid to be pushed through. I think it's maybe being pushed through by my other internet activity, but I get these weird.
Oh, no. Yeah, I get those too.
I don't know what we're going to say.
You go first.
What I get is, like, people have made, like, a poster for a live-action Disney reboot that has not been greenlit yet, but they've thought of it, and it's got the cast at the front, and it's delivered as if it's movie news. So it's as if this movie is coming out, but then when you click on it, it is from a fake group. And then if you go onto the page, all it is fake movie posters for like this Hunchback of Notre Dame
<It's never laughs>
reboot that is not real. My Facebook is full, or also like video game trailers, and it's like, oh, that looks like a cool game, but it's actually just by a random person who made a trailer for a game that doesn't exist.
Because I feel like the TikTok algorithm knows you like, you know, like a therapist.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's like, it's interesting you sort of hovered on that video for a little while. Why is that?
Yeah.
I'm going to delve into that subconscious.
I reckon this will scare you.
Yeah. Here's a video of a Komodo dragon eating a python.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that? You know, why is that? Whereas the Facebook algorithm knows you like a sort of like a distant relative at Christmas being like, you're gay.
Yeah.
You'll like these shorts Disney. That are four-way stretch and color and change color in the water.
Chubbies.
Which is like, what is something that feels gay but isn't necessarily gay? And I got now these like, I've got like these shorts that have built-in jock straps in them and stuff. It's just horrific.
That blows my mind because this is in the premise for the wonderful promotional material about your show, which the tour is on sale now, livenation.com.
Although chrisparkercomedy.com.
Oh, of course.
So if you're listening to this, buy a ticket.
Surely the whole point of a jock strap is to kind of just wear the jock strap. Like, if it's built into the shorts, then you're never getting like the benefit of a jock strap.
It's like a costume reveal in the sense that you're getting the worst of both worlds. So you're getting a terrible pair of shorts, and an annoying pair of
A jock strap that actually covers most of it up. Because I guess what it's going for, right, is the little, like, I guess the, like, sexy reveal of, like...
You're like, oh, I see the strap.
Yes.
The garter. Which is the modern-day garter.
Yeah, it is the modern-day garter. Modern-day garter.
Which at gay weddings, you know, maybe there should be, like, the... Which, can you believe that was going down at straight weddings? The garter being pulled down by the teeth of the groom? Was that the tradition?
Is it... So the garter's on the woman?
Yes.
He pulls off her garter with his teeth. And then does he throw it?
Does that actually happen? Is that what happens at the wedding?
I'm sure I've been to one wedding where they did do the garter thing.
But and I did he not, take I, it off with his teeth?
No, I don't think so. Much. Isn't it sort of the man equivalent? Isn't wait, is it the man equivalent of the bouquet? Does the bouquet go out to the girls and then does am I
the bouquet is chucked to the girlies.
I'm all over the bouquet. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the garter is slingshotted into it. Like, no way.
Into your glass.
All the men stand out with their erect cocks. And then he tries to put it on like hoops on it.
And that's what happens at straight weddings.
What is the garter? What's the deal with the garter?
We actually have to Google. Maybe this is the fact of the guy, because I certainly...
I have no idea. Okay. Yeah, it is funny that there is sort of no tradition like that yet for gay weddings. I wonder if one has just sort of organically emerged.
What's happened? I mean, I would say
confetti cannons.
Delicious food, scrumptious food.
So, what is very common at straight weddings is a bouquet getting tossed to the other, and what is very common at gay weddings is impeccable decisions,
incredible taste. Okay. I would say every gay wedding that I've been to, yours and Colin Brendan's.
Oh, yeah.
The grooms have greeted everyone at the door. And that feels like...
And that happened actually at recent Kyron's wedding as well.
Yeah, it did.
So, okay.
Oh my gosh.
That's the thing.
Me forgetting one of the gay weddings I've been to.
The most recent?
The most weeks ago.
They're not listening.
Okay. These days...
Is this the fact of the gay or is this the fact of the straight?
Yeah, Chris... Tim, can you quickly make up a fact of the straight sting?
He's not going to do that.
No. Also, I listened to the last episode. He didn't put the fact of the gay sting in.
Oh,
we did, which is our own fault.
Was it us because we talked over
it? We kind of started it and then just went on like a 10-minute tirade.
Yeah, on something stupid.
Okay, what is a wedding garter? Oh my God, this article is so long.
Fact of the gay.
During the reception, it's tradition for the bride's partner to remove the garter from underneath the bride's gown with their hands or teeth,
what?
And toss it into the crowd.
That is so crazy.
The garter toss tradition originated in the Dark Ages. No kidding.
No kidding.
When people believed that having a tatter of the bride's dress was considered good luck. A tatter of the dress. Great book title.
A tatter of the dress. A tatter of the dress. Oh, that is a great book title.
During this time, crowds of guests became so lewd that they'd often follow the couple to their marital bed, ripping at the couple's clothes as a form of encouragement while hoping to grab a piece of the bridal gown. As a result, the bride and groom started tossing the bouquet and the garters that held up the bride's stockings as a way to appease the crowd. So literally, the whole crowd at the wedding is kind of following
Auntie
them
Maureen.
As they go
Auntie
to...
John, that guy that you barely needed, like your friend's new boyfriend who you just like had to invite.
You had to have him there.
They all start tearing at your outfit that you've spent like $6,000 on.
Because they're like, we want to help you get ready for sex, which you have never had before today. Of course.
Of course. That is the weird undertone of the straight wedding, is like that you haven't had sex yet, and everyone's sort of like anticipating that all to happen, and that's what so the garter to sort of be a symbol of that, and the performance of like taking it off with your teeth to almost entice your family members that you're about to have sex is just horrific,
crazy.
Oh my God, it makes me so embarrassed.
Is that what the barbecue the day after is meant to be as well? So everyone can be like, "How was it?"
I guess so.
Over some steak.
Oh, she's walking with a bit of a... No, fuck. It's so weird, isn't it? It is so weird when you think about all these sort of things.
Yeah.
These weird traditions. I mean, what would be the gay version of that? I mean, of like enticing that you're about to have sex? The grooms adjust the waistband of their underwear.
Yeah. I'm like, what are the warning signs that sex is about to start? I'm still so embedded in like flat culture that it's like... The stereo is on and the door's closed.
A towel is placed underneath the gap of the door.
Yeah. Someone goes and grabs a roll of toilet paper and takes it to their room.
What is actually tradition at gay weddings is that the grooms will do a very quick walk, a shuffle, with a towel around their waist from their bedroom as quickly as they can to the bathroom. And then we know that they are now married.
They are now married because they've just consummated.
They take a roll of toilet paper from the bathroom. It is so humiliating, actually.
God, nothing worse. Nothing worse.
Yeah, there are so many signs in a flat that you're about to have same-sex intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Like
a long shower.
A long shower. Someone like using the bathroom for a bit.
A bit, yeah.
Toilet paper being taken away. Yeah. A towel. A neck brace, the swing, the harness being adjusted to the roof.
Hooks.
Screwdrivers. Yeah.
It's weird. I still am, like, now living alone just as a couple, still for me, like, the run to the bathroom, I still treat it as if there are flatmates in the
house.
Someone's
going to
catch you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And because, like, we do have, like, windows in the lounge out to the street, which is, like, no one has ever been out there. But it does feel like maybe in that 5 seconds for the first time
someone's
ever,
watching. Women's Day are watching. Waiting for an exclusive.
Exclusive. Man has sex with same-sex partner that everyone knows about.
For the first time this week.
Yeah. Oh.
We're in our 30s, aren't we?
We are.
I keep looking back at photos on planes. When I'm on a plane, like, of my face now, versus, like, even, like, 2019.
Yeah.
And I've noticed the difference, like, which is, I'm like, I've definitely, like, aged.
I feel very much like no one's confused that you're in your 30s when they look at you.
Me?
No, me.
Oh, yeah.
Me to myself. This is me saying that to myself.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, I'm just, I'm firm. I'm firmly in there now.
Yeah. What's your feelings on getting a little
Botox?
Mm.
I was like, can I hear a noise?
Someone practicing an instrument?
I think so. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, Botox. So, hold on.
Are they singing? I'll be home for Christmas.
Yeah, they're singing.
No, it's definitely sort of a flute, I think.
Like, what is... why I'm freaking out about the noise of someone else is that I have sung at the top of my lungs in this lounge.
Yeah, of course.
And just thinking about how people can hear that.
Yeah.
My neighbors, sort of more specifically. Botox?
What were you singing? Oh. A variety of smashes?
I'm singing a lot. This is actually so embarrassing to
remember. Please, you have to share.
It's Mrs. Lovett's Whispies of London. From Sweeney Todd. But I don't know.
How does it go? Hey, Mr. Todd.
Yeah, I don't know any of the lyrics because it's like a patter song. So it's got all this really fast, like, wordplay to it. I'm like, wait, what you come? What you coming? What you want about wait, shit, sitting down. Like, because I keep watching clips of it. Did you come here for a pie, sir?
Yeah. Oh, that was gorgeous.
Thank you.
I really hit some nice resonance there.
I've been listening to it a lot. And I'm getting into, as I tend to do, sort of find a part, like a little bit of a musical theatre song. So like the, oh, from Wicked. Or from Evita.
Mm-hmm.
My latest one is Worst Pies in London. And I've watched everyone who's ever done the role and who's done it best.
Oh, have I shown you the video of all the Alphabiz in lockdown singing together?
Wait, is it all off time because it's on Zoom?
Zoom. So they each take a line each, but then they do like whatever it's called. Like they all do it.
A canon
of that.
Oh, I think I have heard
and
that.
And then the final one really just like.
Oh, it's actually one of those things that might be one of the hardest things to do in your life is those exact notes. Like, I'll never have the confidence, I think, to sort of imagine being put in that role with just like the musical. Like, you're a beautiful singer, but by no means like have the lungs for Alphaba.
Mm.
But like at the level that you can sing, you've got like 24 hours to get ready
to learn
and then do the show. And you just are ejected straight into that show and have to do it.
Honestly, it'd be a great reality TV show.
It would be
a 24 hour Alphaba.
There's a knock on the door and you're just greened immediately. And then they're like, you've got 24 hours.
AirPods in, learn the songs.
Here's your script. See what you can manage. And then the show just kicks off. And then you've got like just someone.
Yeah, who's playing Galinda? Oh, Kristen Chenoweth.
Yeah. And you just have to like, it's like, thank God you're here. But it's a full-scale musical that runs for 2 hours.
God. Green light that.
Green light that.
Hello, Sony Pictures.
We need the rights to Wicked immediately. It would be incredible. 24-hour alphabet, like, green light it now. So I want to see it so bad.
It would be mesmerizing.
Mm.
My bit of the musicals that I always sing, like the isolated part, is the opening of Little Shop of Horrors when he's like, poor, all my life I've always been poor. It's like such a good bit of the song. And it's like 10 seconds. But.
That I watched that musical so much because when I first moved to Auckland, I was ushering at Q Theatre and they were doing it. So I watched it all the time. And that bit always did stick out to me. And also Somewhere That's Green. I do sing that a lot as well.
That is a stunning song. I do Suddenly Seymour all the time. I'm a dentist. I mean,
I actually would love to sing at the best of my ability in front of people again. I think it's a thrill.
I've had that impulse as well recently.
Maybe we should just manufacture it. We will just make 24-hour alphabet for ourselves.
For our own self. Just sing at the best of our abilities just for each other.
Just in a room?
Just in this room.
Book the Civic. And then there's no one in the audience. And we can just walk out and just go for it. You're just out there going, poor, all my life I've always been poor.
Oh my God.
Back to the Botox question.
Oh, of course.
I think I wouldn't say no, I wouldn't say never. I think it's like, you've got to be careful, I know, like in terms of places that you can get it, it can begin to like shift how your eyebrows work and stuff, from what I've been told. I'm like just lathering so much creams and serums on my faces at the moment. I've got a firm six part, I would say. But it's
pretty, I heard once you go over four,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
they're pretty relaxed products, I will say that. And some of them I wouldn't say I'm exfoliating all the time. Like, I exfoliate like once a week.
I barely ever exfoliate. Yeah, maybe once a week.
I use those Dr. Dennis Gross like wipes. They're fucking so intense. Like, they burn, but
they're exfoliating wipes.
Yeah. Oh shit, yeah. Because it's a chemical exfoliant rather than a gritty one, which
rather than apricot pieces.
Yeah. And that shit get micro tears, apparently. It makes it worse.
I heard.
Say knives. Which is a real shame because like I was so into
when microplastics, when that was like, these ones have microplastics, and then it was like, wow, this one's just apricot stones, perfect. Ripping your skin.
That's the only time I ever really felt like fresh, you know?
Yeah, I actually love the smell of it.
I have to say, I think I'm like maybe a week away from cold plunging.
Wow.
Like, and just, I just think.
Are you going to go to like, I saw on Instagram recently, there's like a hot and cold room. Like there's a sauna and then there's an ice bath right beside it. And you just go.
At where?
I think Newmarket, it definitely had that vibe. I want
Les Mills to do it. Yeah. Like, I don't know if they're listening, but I'm like, they've got the capacity for a little cold plunge in their locker rooms.
Well, in the Auckland City one, they did have a plunge pool, but it wasn't even that cold.
Yeah, I just keep looking at like Art Green doing it and like these sort of guys, and I'm just like, there seems to be like, I don't know. They feel like they're getting a lot out of life.
I saw an article last week that was like, there are no benefits.
Really?
yeah. Science has proven there are no benefits. But the thing that I think it's
got.
Science is really coming for wellness.
It really is recently.
And actually, cool it down.
Cool it down. Like a ripper?
Yes.
I was like, don't fucking take that away from me.
No, I feel so smart when I have it a ripper. Same. Literally, I'm like, yeah, someone's like,
my brain feels like it opens up.
Yeah.
And we will take sponsorship from them, even though they have been called out by so-called science.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it.
It's really yummy. And I like the sparkling one in the can.
Yeah. I will say, I get so nervous opening a fresh can of a wrapper.
If you're wearing white.
Because I'm just like, if this shit gets on anything,
it's
stained to the gods.
It's so, because I loved blackcurrant, like a Barker's blackcurrant syrup as a kid. And it's so great to kind of have that flavor and have it.
Blackcurrants are just out there trying to live their best life.
Yeah.
And then science, like Ribena, getting
knocked
back. You know, I'm like, let blackcurrants just have a fucking go.
You know that's Is it your name Ginny, who used to be on Breakfast, who fills in on TVNZ?
Yeah.
She was the girl.
Who took down
Ribena.
Is that how she got onto Breakfast?
Yeah.
Wait, because she was a teen when she took down Ribena, right?
Yes, she was. So she did that, got a lot of exposure, and then, yeah.
That was actually crazy. Like, when that went down, I remember being like 12 or whatever, yeah, yeah. Being like, Mum, you got to get a load of this Ribena story.
Well, also it made me go like, okay, my science project could change the planet because look what she did.
Were you a big science fear? Science, was that science fear? Is that what it was called? Science. What's it called?
What was that called? Not the Australian science competition.
The one with the three things board,
and yeah. The title that you slot into the top. Yeah,
I would only buy for speech exams. For some reason, every time we did a speech for like there's like a Royal School Shakespeare speech and drama.
Speech and drama, yeah. You did one of those.
Whenever we did a speech, for some reason, it was like you have to have a board, and then you have to go fucking crazy decorating the board. Like, not just paint, stick shit on, have things open up, lights. Like, people would go fucking mental on it.
Wow.
And it was a big highlight of my year, actually.
I just always thought that was just speaking. I never did any of that speech and drama stuff. I just did.
I don't know why we did the boards, but I did. Yeah. I would like to have an opportunity to. It would be
I'd love to use one of those boards again.
Imagine just doing a presentation at your office.
And you've got one of those boards.
And you've got one of those
hypothesis, boards. conclusion, little bar graph in the middle.
Research. Yeah. Oh my God, I would love that.
Maybe we should try and put some of my.
Walking on the bus, like holding your big.
Holding it up. In the I had like a I'm sure I had like a big wallet where you could put it all in.
Oh wow.
Yeah
do they still make them?
Sure. I hope kids.
Well, now it's all on
it.
Now it would be an app.
Now they don't even have a science fair because you can just flick through on the yeah. iPad.
Now it's just AI. AI is just doing it all.
Yeah.
And what's the point in even doing science fair when big science itself is cancelling a ripper?
Our favorite things.
Ribena.
Ice baths.
I actually got gifted a free product.
I would love to see it. So a cold plunge. I did hear that the main benefit is that it teaches you to deal with panic better.
Yeah. For me, it just kind of wakes me up a little bit. Do you love how I'm trying to get into my freezer right
now?
It's
crazy, actually.
Here we go. Okay. So this is from the freezer. I mean, you could do an honest review because I don't know if I owe anything to this company.
Yeah. Okay.
These are called Chalk Bites. They got sent to me from Goodness Kitchen. They tell you that there's like 77 calories per serve, which I'm never a big fan of. People being like, if you eat these little things, they'll make you skinny, almonds. But I actually fucking love them.
So they're...
It's basically a pineapple lump with real pineapple and like vegan chocolate on the outside. Ooh. Tell me what you think of that.
Yum.
That's yummy.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, eh?
Pineapple rocks.
They have to live in the freezer because as soon as they're out, they fucking melt. So yeah, they are a nightmare in that sense. So I kind of rolled my eyes when I got given them.
Mm.
Every time I've eaten them, I fucking love them.
That's yum.
That's yum, eh?
And it does feel like you're having a treat, but also it's healthy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yum.
So anyway, that's a little shout out.
I will say, I wish they were... 20% less frozen.
Well, that's the thing. You would have less frozen pineapple, but you'd have melted chocolate. Mm. So that's where I feel like they've really tried to work that one out at the store where they make them. And it's been a hard day, but they're like, we've got a release, but they're not quite ready yet or something. But they are yum.
That was awesome. And I did take four. Sorry.
That was also, no, I mean, we've got two packets of them. So
anyway. What do you think of skinny dipped almonds?
Well, we've kind of got into this before because isn't it so crazy that scorched almonds, like they emphasize the fact that the almonds are scorched, but
not the chocolate.
But it's not the chocolate.
We have actually fully broken this down.
But I do feel like with the skinny dip almond, I do like them, but I prefer a more waxy, thicker chocolate from the old scorchy.
I quite like the skinny dip one with the raspberry, but I will eat 50 in a sitting, as opposed to probably two scorched almonds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's a science experiment that I did. So I was getting inspired because my sister was, like I'd done the science competition before and I'd done your bloody, I don't know, testing stuff to see how much shit was in it. And then my sister was doing psychology at uni and not like learning to be a clinical psychologist, but learning about like the studies where they get groups of people and make them do something fucking, you know, the Stanford Prison Experiment or whatever. So that was what inspired me. And I did this science experiment where I got...
Oh my God.
I was trying to break down differences between the brains of the genders. It's so bad.
This is perfect.
I brought it in my Thomas the Tank Engine trains.
How old were you?
11.
Perfect.
And I got people to come into this room and the trains were just in a mess. And then I got them to order the trains how they thought they should be ordered. And then I tried to come up with scientific conclusions about what that said.
Oh my God. Your actual obsession with Thomas the Tank Engine. Like every time we talk, every time he pops up, another like layer emerges where I'm like, oh, it's a trivial thing he likes. Oh, it's like something he's sort of really passionate about. Oh, he'd want to watch a live action film about it. That's kind of crazy. Mm. Okay. It's actually been like a long standing like relationship, you and these tank engines.
I was so into them. Yeah, and obviously very into them at like kind of 4, 5, 6, which was when you're meant to be. But then I remember specifically one time for a creative writing exercise, you know, everyone was allowed to write a story about whatever, and I chose to do a kind of essentially a fan fiction.
Yeah.
And I got told I was too old to be writing about the trains. And then, I mean, one of the reasons...
How old were you?
I think I was 8.
That, fuck that.
I know. But then I like had lots of the toys. And
you're
8
years old. You should be writing about grittier things. The tatting of the dress. Whatever it's called.
Tatter of the dress. The tatter of the dress by Eli Matheson. Age 8. Wedding night.
Wedding night. I'm nervous. I've never had sex with a man before.
The garter tied around my thigh.
It's cutting off the circulation. We've got to make a break for it. We've got to run out of this church. Everyone's grabbing my dress.
Teacher reads it. She's like, go back to the trains.
Go back to the trains, I reckon.
Please go back to the trains. But I because I already owned so many of the trains, then I think up until I was like 12, I kind of held on to them because I felt like I moved into like collector zone where I was trying to keep them nice. And now my nephews have like played with those trains because I did hold on to them for all the years.
That's beautiful stuff, actually. Yeah. I just don't know. I mean, it's a really... What was your... I'm more interested, actually, in your scientific research. What was your conclusive evidence by the end of it?
It's really hard to know what the conclusion was, but I remember being like, yeah, girls like the red ones and boys like the blue ones. You know, just
put it
like,
up, put it on a graph, put it
on a bar graph conclusion.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I remember having to do science fair and just being like, oh no. And even my mum was like, oh, for fuck's sake, do we have to? Like, she could not be bothered. And she was like, I don't know, do this. And I was like, I don't know if it's a good idea. But she like pushed me into it, which actually isn't science and is actually just consumer research, which is what style of orange juice sits better with different age demographics in terms of pulp.
Oh my God. And was this just based on asking people?
I just, yeah, got a couple of things and people would try different bits of orange juice. And yeah. Then I'd be like, interesting. The older you are, the more you want pulp.
Yeah, I would have thought that actually would be the case. Yeah.
But that's literally like, I should just send that information to Kerry's.
Yeah.
Whereas I remember when I was doing that Subway ad, I met a guy who made like a laser, gun for his science project.
That is... actually pisses me off.
Like, there's people out there doing, like...
Proper
oh, no, and stuff. He designed and patented, like, a thing to help you put, like, poles into the ground to when you're making fences on farms. And he like painted it and like patented it and sold it. Oh God, what a horrible word
patented
is. Patented.
We've actually painted in that.
It's horrible. There needs to be another word for that.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to Chrissy?
I don't even know what it's going to be like because we're not going down to Christchurch. We're just kind of like chilling out.
Oh, you're going to be in Warkworth?
We're going to be in Warkworth with Sam's parents.
Do you always dress up?
Well, normally, but this year it's a no-go. Unless we do something light because, yeah, a lot has moved and changed with what was going to happen with Christmas. So like, right. There's no big planned event really happening.
Because last year was the big, the last time you were there was the big bundt cake.
No, that was 2019.
Oh, so you've been there before then for Christmas?
Yeah. The last one we did was Under the Sea. Sam's mum dressed as Ursula.
Oh my God, it's actually perfect.
Yeah, it is good.
You should just make a dress up again.
I know. Yeah, well, it's not my family.
Wow.
Well, I mean, yes, I am.
Could be.
Yeah, it could be. But I don't think I'm allowed.
Are you going to do a Christmas tree in your house?
Yeah, we've got one.
Do you?
It sits in our little booth seat in the kitchen.
It is an annoying.
Come out.
Isn't it fucking crazy that we're like, oh God, because we've all, us both, are very fortunate to get ourselves on the property ladder, but we've got, you know, these tiny mm-hmm. little homes. And so storage becomes like a commodity. Like you're like, oh, okay, I've got suitcases, I've got my winter clothes, I've got like
duvets.
That's
what I just recently have pulled all my winter clothes together and now I'm like, where do I put them? Because if I put them in the garage, they will go moldy.
Yeah. And then you've got a huge fake tree that you use.
Mine is not nearly as big as yours.
Really?
Ours is like yay high. Like,
oh, that's tiny.
Feet. Yeah. It's quite sweet. But we do also have like...
For the listeners, that's...
I said 2 feet.
Oh, yeah. I really wouldn't know what a foot is. Mm. Well, half of what you've laid out. Yeah, it'd be about 2 feet. I guess ours is like 6 foot.
Oh, yeah.
At my height.
That's
Which
so
is a normal
big.
Size tree.
That is a normal size. Yeah. I'm not criticizing.
Wow, sounds like you were.
Yeah, we just wanted a cute little one.
Well, we wanted a big, expensive tree.
Yeah, and it is cool.
But it's so, like, it's almost as this, it's about the same size as this huge Akosa box that's still here. And you use it for 20 days of the year.
But it is cool to see.
It makes such a difference. I think probably because it's the end of the year, we're just sort of clawing our way to the end that we're like, I'm going to go all in. And I will go all in on Christmas. I'm going to set up an event with anyone else who's thinking about doing Christmas trees where everyone gets to show them off.
Oh, I love that.
And make a dessert. So you don't have to do a dinner. Just make a dessert. Host people who are doing trees. You can talk everyone through your tree. And I think you're calling it Come Pine With Me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Is this kind of a pub crawl? Do you go from house to house?
On the 19th, we're going to so-and-so's. They're going to showcase their tree.
Yeah.
But we are... Because it's funny, I guess it's that point as well of getting older where, you know, investing in the tree was a big moment for me because, like, Dad had always, like, had the tree in the box. It was the same tree.
And you know that this is going to be your tree.
And this is our tree. Yeah. And hopefully this box will be, like, rugged and fucked up. Everyone was like, get a tree box. You're like, but obviously in this horrible world we live in, you can buy, like, boxes specifically designed to store trees in. But I'm like, the box it came in is fine.
It's fine, yeah.
And my dad held onto his box forever. And I kind of liked it. Like, it's sort of nostalgic seeing the original box.
Old box. And yours dismantles, obviously.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like the patriarchy.
Yeah.
That is dismantled.
Fingers crossed.
But I think we're going to go for a new vibe this year.
Different decorations.
So I think because this is a tricky thing, is I feel like you want to use the same decorations every year because that's like the nostalgia of like, oh, this precious one when we were in Florence.
There's like a new one added every year, yeah.
But the game in me is like, every year, a new theme, a new overhaul, a new look for the tree. And so I think it's about finding a balance of keeping the original decorations that you have. I mean, this podcast is essentially like Rachel Rayner.
Yeah.
But then also a new theme.
And that's what people come to it for. So themes, obviously you could do just like classic.
We're trying to work it out. We don't know.
Silver, red, baubles, tinsel.
Because I'm not a big fan of a tree. Like, you've got to be careful with the tree because it wants to feel like it's like home vibes, not domestic vibes. You don't want it to feel like it looks like it belongs in a department store.
No.
With a big thick ribbon running around the side
of it. Yes, I remember like the rich kids at our school that we would always have like our formal after function. They had this like honestly 15, 20 foot tree in there, like the entranceway to their huge house. Fuck, and it did look like, it was fucking awesome, but it was also like, it looks like we're at Ballantine's.
Yeah. I really, I've seen like a Christmas photo emerge already on like a friend, on Facebook, the app Facebook, the website Facebook. And the backdrop was like a beautiful Christmas photo and like, it was like all like, I mean,
The question
that it was like winter wonderland, which I can't stand because obviously it's summer here.
Yeah.
But
I actually can't stand Santa and Jandals either.
No, I can't stand that either.
Maybe.
Go on. Like,
well, it's not autumn or spring anywhere, but maybe just go for autumn Christmas.
That is actually insane. What?
Well.
Is it autumn Christmas anywhere in the world?
No, because I think.
You're either hot or cold.
Yeah. We all, like, our spring is the...
I think I could do a bloody good job, actually, of doing a Christmas... I would love that job of, like, designing the Christmas...
Like this one can go his windows.
Uh-huh. Mm. But I would like to do the Christmas display for Santa. As a previous mall Santa.
Yeah.
I think I would go, like, fake Pudakawa, like... by the beach, but Santa in full regalia.
Yeah, of course.
Boots, no jandals. He's
not in board shorts.
He's not in. When I see a little illustration of Santa, you know,
Santa
with a
Santa at the Barbie.
Bear with a Barbie. I'm just with sunburnt shoulders and a singlet on.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's working his fucking ass off. How dare you?
This is not his holiday time.
Are you going to get a gift? Do you expect a gift on Christmas?
I have no expectations for gifts. As in, are you talking about me giving a gift or receiving a gift?
Receiving.
There will be a gift, like, my family would do Secret Santa, Sam's family would do Secret Santa. So we will definitely, like, give and receive two gifts.
And to you and Sam, do you give and receive gifts on Christmas? And by that I mean, do you fuck Sam on Christmas Day?
And do you give and then do you receive? No. No, we definitely don't fuck on Christmas Day.
Oh, it feels weird.
It is weird. Do you just have too much food and like when are you going to do it? The family's around the whole time.
I think it's the most sexless time of the year.
I'm trying to remember. We certainly do get each other presents for birthdays on Christmas. Like last year, we bought ourselves a PlayStation.
That's cool.
Yeah, we just buy something we want.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea as an adult to buy, if you're in a relationship, to buy the couple an insane gift from like the vibe of like, this is from a cool parent.
Oh
my God, like a toy.
Like a bike.
Yeah, I think everyone should at least have a toy on Christmas. Like I never want something that I should need.
Really? You want a toy?
Yeah, I want something fun.
I
want a Nerf gun.
Immediately, it's Christmas Day and I open a package and it's got a Nerf gun in it. Immediately my mind is thinking,
where
am I putting this?
Yeah.
How soon can I get rid of this?
I'm like that with a mug.
Yeah. How can I on-gift this? You don't ever want to receive it. What if it's quite a nice mug?
I've got so many mugs. Like I don't need another. I'm just like, okay, where's that going?
Wow.
When am I using that? Because I've got a lot of mugs and I sort of opt for the usually one or the other.
Same. I'm like, there's eight two options. That I use.
On go and then two that get sort of played around with.
But I still would be excited to receive a mug that maybe trumped some of the other mugs. So there's actually one. And we always throw our mugs. There's like three shelves and there's one shelf that I actually can't reach. So I just...
You need a little stepping stool.
He'll
be embarrassed for me to admit this, but we bought Michael a stepping stool for some of the drawers. And sometimes he'll just get up on it and give me a hug.
Oh my gosh.
Because I never get to feel little, like Thumbelina.
That's so sweet. That's really nice.
It's really
nice.
We
do have a stepping ladder, but even then when I it feels unstable to me. And yeah, but Sam has sometimes put like my favorite mug in that top shelf.
That seems personal.
And I don't think he knew it was my favorite mug, maybe. You know, it was like an unspoken. I thought maybe he would have seen me drink from it every day and then known not to put that on the top shelf where I can't reach it.
It is so crazy that we have this relationship to like objects or like. I used to think about this all the time in the flat where. Because like not only would you have like be drawn to use a certain spatula or whatever, but other people as well. In the flat would also do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then I started being like, it's almost like they're movie stars. And I started thinking
the spatulas or the flatmates.
The spatulas. Like, I started thinking of my utensils as celebrities.
And like, they're under contract to your studio.
I'd just be like, you know, there's like A-listers.
Yeah.
I'd be like, there was like a spatula with like a blue head on it. And it was like the star of the cutlery drawer. Mm. And then this new girl came on the scene, like a fish slice. Wasn't used for the same things, but she suddenly became the most talked about utensil in the drawer.
Yeah.
And I started feeling a bit bad for the spatula because I felt like she was sort of being cast aside.
Oh, wow.
It was once, you know, a huge star and is now a Grisabella.
Yeah, I feel like a huge hierarchy shift happened in our knives because last year at the Snort Christmas party, we always do a snatchy Santa.
Yeah.
And I ended up with a knife set from Julie Zhu. Thank you so much. I love it. But then, yeah, it was interesting the shift then because there was probably like one knife that I would use for almost everything, to be honest.
And now
it's like the fourth choice.
Don't you feel bad for the knife?
I do.
You should get it sharpened. And it would be like a reboot, you know, when they're like, oh my God, look who's back on the scene.
Yeah, look, guess who's back in the house.
Making a comeback.
Yeah. What I will say about knife sets is that there are knives up on our wall that I don't know what to use them for.
Oh, really?
I will use them to kind of open. There's some that I'm like, I don't know what that shape is for. Maybe it's for fish, but I'll just use it to kind of open a sauce packet.
I will say the whole knife set thing is like overcomplicated in a way that I think is designed.
Probably three, right?
They're trying to make you buy more knives. They're like, you should buy a knife block. And then suddenly you're like, look at all these empty slots. I clearly don't have enough knives in my life. And so you buy a middle size. Like, because I get the big butcher's knife, you know. Yeah. Or I'm hacking through a pumpkin.
Yeah.
A bog standard chef's knife. That's every day, everything.
Bread knife. Of course.
Of course. Although I've heard controversially, even though I love a bread knife, you don't need it.
What?
Don't need it. As long as you've got a sharp knife, it'll get through that bread.
But it won't. I love
the pull.
I love the pull. And yeah. Just the noise it makes.
It's heaven.
Yeah. So actually those people can shut the fuck up.
So a big knife for pumpkin.
Uh-huh.
A knife for everything.
Pumpkin, everything.
Everything. Pumpkin knife, everything knife.
Bread knife.
Bread knife.
Little knife.
And then, but you don't even need the little knife.
What about?
What are you using a little knife for?
Cheese.
You wouldn't just use your everything knife for that?
That's too big. That is too big.
But it's
big.
The same. It's a blade's a blade.
If you come around to my house and I'm like, here's some cheese and crackers.
Oh,
and there's a
giant knife
beside it.
Of course.
Were you thinking of cutting up a block of
cheese? But you wouldn't put your cheese knife in the knife block.
Now, we've got a magnetized
thing. With a tiny little ender hooks on the end.
And actually, sorry, Julie, I hate this, but there's a cheese knife in the knife set. And
you have to like slide it in to get it into the slot or something?
No, it's worse than you could even imagine. In the middle part, the blade of the knife, the word cheese is cut out.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, I really, every time I see it, I think, oh God, I need to repair that, fix it.
So there you go. You don't need a fucking, you don't need eight sharp knives in your house.
I don't even think
all you people going crazy over the Smeg knives. I talked to someone the other day about that. Remember that New World promotion with the collect enough stickers, get your Smeg knife, and how absolutely insane everyone went trying to get. Oh, but now I love when you go around and like everyone's got a bloody Smeg knife, don't they?
They do. Smeg do beautiful stuff.
They do beautiful things. It's a little bit like 1960s.
Yeah. Didn't they get in trouble in New World recently because they didn't actually have the plates or whatever that they were meant to give out?
Oh, really?
Do you know what? On this subject, we've been trying to buy a frying pan with a lid. I mean, literally, we've been trying. I mean, we had one look at Farmers. But it is so hard to find a frying pan with a lid.
Do you think?
Yeah. Unless, well, and I don't want to spend over $200.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't really want to spend over $150, but I don't want to spend that much money.
You should spend money on it, on a good pan.
Okay.
You've got a full-time job.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah.
Get a proper pan. I spent $300 on my fry pan. And I didn't have the money to do it.
Cast iron one?
I've got a cast iron.
We've got a cast iron.
I've got this. It's like, we are Rachel Ray. This is a lifestyle.
It's unbelievable.
Pocket. I fucking hate how much I care about this. It's a mixture of like a stainless steel pan and glass.
On the bottom?
on the top of it.
On the top of it, yeah.
It's
yeah.
a fucking heavy pan, but it is awesome. I went into Millie's. I think I've probably talked about this before. Me and the lady at Millie's, which is like that, it's like the kitchen appliance store in Auckland. It's been around forever. The ladies who work there, oh, they have their fucking eye on the game. Like, they are the best in the game.
I've never been.
I just love dealing with anyone over the age of 30 who works in retail, because they just know their fucking shit and they care about it and they're so good at their job. And she was like, I went in, I was like, can you talk me through nonstick fry pans? And she was like, how long you got? And I was like, as long as you need. And she's like, all right, let's go. And then she walked me through the whole store, and then I ended up buying a $300 plus fry pan.
So it was worthwhile for her to spend that much time with you.
I guess so. She got it. She got a big sale.
Yeah, I would say the most comparable thing I have to that is when we bought out Record Player last year. And we just like, there was kind of like a guy in his 40s or 50s, and we're like, which one's the best?
And he gave you a straight up, yeah. You just want to buy the best thing in that instance.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Really lovely to see you. No, we've got to have
I'm just thinking about people listening to this, walking around the streets, just being like lost and dizzy and confused at like all this fucking homeware that we've thrown at them. But that's life. We live sad, pathetic little lives, and sometimes all we care about is just like what we're making our scrambled eggs with.
Yeah, sometimes the greatest pleasure you can have is to buy a nice pan from the lady at Millie's.
Millie's. I would totally recommend it.
Yeah.
Okay, Queen of the Week.
Queen of the Week.
Really good question. I'm going to say... I don't know.
I've been listening to the album by Chappell Roan a lot recently. Have you heard this?
No. Album? You always got your finger on the pulse.
She's really good. I mean, if you're into kind of like Carly Rae Jepsen or like anyone like that who's kind of like making pop music but not actually that popular but is making good songs. She has a great song called Casual, and I was thinking about this when you were talking about Christmas, because the song is about... She's with this guy and he keeps telling his friends that it's just casual, but she's describing all the ways that it's not a casual relationship. The chorus goes, it's like knee deep in the passenger seat and you're eating me out. Is it casual now? Like, she's talking about all the extreme parts of their relationship.
Jeez Louise.
What I think is so good about the writing.
Warning, please.
I'm sorry. We're talking about
pans and knives and suddenly knee deep.
I don't know where the knee is actually in that.
Wait, he's... Was she?
His knees are in the bit where your feet go, I guess.
And he's eating her out, and she's driving?
No, I don't think she's... I think they're parked up.
And she's in the driving seat?
She's in the passenger seat.
Someone's leaning over something to get to somewhere.
Yeah, I think his knees... I think he's in the driver's seat, and he's got his knees where her feet are. Like... I actually would love to see a drawing, of course.
Please submit.
But anyway, what I like about the song is that it's really juxtaposing constantly like visceral descriptions of like intimate sexy encounters and then like family stuff, like him being invited to like her being invited to like his mum's birthday and stuff.
Okay.
And, like, I just thought it was a very good description of like what a relationship can feel like.
Okay, so she's the Queen of the Week. Never heard of her. Never heard the song.
Never will listen to that. I'm gonna send it to you, and then you can listen to it when I'm out of the room, because it is pretty rude.
I love that we do just drop a casual hour podcast every time.
Yeah, we used to do like 35 minutes, and we were stretching.
Yeah, and now we're like,
something's changed.
Something has changed within me. Something I can't explain. What I will live on this, she's the Queen of the Week. Go off. What's her name again?
Chappell Roan.
Chappell Roan is that it's amazing that you listen to a song and catch the story. I am literally like, oh, one who knew what they wanted to do. Like, it's all I hear. So where you got to play your tail away on. Like, just sounds.
You don't hear the lyrics at all.
I'm never like, God, that is what a relationship. I'm just like, God, you're one of my smartest friends.
Oh, don't say that.
Do you get to enjoy the music, or are you like focusing really hard on what they're saying?
I think I'm not too far from you, because I think when I do first listen to it, I am like, yeah.
Wait. On the knee deep in the passenger seat. Wait,
where are his knees? Screaming at my phone.
Well, if you know the answer, please feel free to reply to us what they mean by that lyric. Again, the artist's name is Chappell Roan. She's our queen of the week.
Chris doesn't know who she is.
I don't know who she is. I can't wait to unbox this bed. I do not have a base for it or any bedding, but it's going to be thrilling.
Are you going to sleep on it tonight?
No.
Cool.
It's funny to own something new and not just rip into it, eh?
Are you going to... Are you going
to... Good to end on the Akosa, actually. Okay.
Are you going to get the base before you sleep on it?
I'm not going to sleep on a mattress on the floor.
But are you going to unfurl the mattress today?
I do think they need time to air. That's what I've been told.
Mm.
Okay, so here's what I'm sitting at.
I think it's going
to
be...
We don't have a duvet in it. We don't have any bedding.
Mm.
We don't have a base, but we've got the mattress.
Yeah. I think it's staying in that box for a bit.
Okay. I'm thinking about buying a base from another e-commerce store because I liked the look of it.
Mm. Don't get the...
Akosa base.
And look,
are you on a Koza's pocket?
Well, no, but I will take if they do want to send me another bed or like help me fix it. But the bass is very noisy.
Is it?
Yeah,
I've been getting the advertising for the Winkle bass, and I was like, I like the look of that, and that could arrive within 10 to 12 hours. They said.
Okay, that's great news.
So that there's the bass done.
Where's this bed going?
Into the next room.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which is currently filled with boxes.
Mm.
And then, you bet I'm hitting up. As much as everyone's like, these are terrible, terrible sales, I'm going to be hitting up the Black Friday sales.
Because
I'm like, you bet I'm picking up a duvet inner at a good price.
Hell yeah.
This Friday.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you. It's a big time.
Sleeping in new bedding, you are going to feel like a prince this weekend.
I don't think it's going to be this weekend.
Yeah.
But I got it. I've got to open it.
10 to 12 hours that base, one trip to get, you know, in the...
Yeah.
So don't count your chickens...
Before they sleep.
I think that... Or do count your chickens, because you might be able to hatch the eggs.
God, it's all go, eh? All go. And it's finally going to upgrade from a queen to a king.
I can't believe you, a man of your stature, has been a queen for so long.
I like the queen. It kept me humble.
Mm.
But fucking, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You deserve it. I just can't wait to be king. And that's the male case.
That's it. I refuse to join in.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.